You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
And what I'm saying is this would have benefited his district.
Yeah.
And he spoke again. He spoke.
That ought to show you right there.
He don't need to be in that position.
He ain't out for the people.
No, no. And look, I do wish what y'all saying is true. He is. I really wish that what y'all are saying is true, is that he understands this and he knew what he was doing. He was just being spiteful.
So, I can see that. I can see that.
Well, let me tell you what he's doing. He parks the truck right in front of the fire zone where you walk up the steps. And he got four of my opponent's magnetic signs on his, on a truck. Four.
On the fire truck?
No, on the, it's a red truck, but it's not the fire truck. It's a pickup truck. Four of the magnetic signs on there, and he parks it illegally right at the fire. So that means that if you're walking up to the city council, to city hall, you're going to have to go around his truck and go So he might know, but the reason I say I don't think he really knows or understands this is that when we were talking about coverage for police officers, he could not understand that. We explained, this is how we explained. We explained it that the city has 9 zones, and there is a police officer assigned to each zone. And then there are 3 sergeants, and the 3 sergeants, each sergeant is responsible for 3 zones. So you got 9 divided by 3. That means each sergeant is overseeing 3 patrol officers.
Exactly.
And 3 zones. Okay. Then you have a desk sergeant who's fielding all of the calls. All right. And then you have a lieutenant who's over everybody. All right. So now, this is why I say I don't think he could comprehend this. All right? 9 zones, 9 officers, right? 3 sergeants. 9 and 3 is 12. 1 desk sergeant, 13. A lieutenant, 14. He adds, and I didn't say this, Lee Rubin said this. You ask the same question over and over again. You say you must have asked it 12 times. Asking, how many officers is on a ship? How many people are covering a zone? And they went over it over and over again. You got 9 zones. Each zone has a patrol officer. You got 3 sergeants. Each sergeant is responsible for 3 zones. You got a desk sergeant. You have a lieutenant. That's 9 plus 3, that's 12, plus 1, that's 13, plus the lieutenant, that's 14. We went over that math over and over and over. And look, even the other guys were saying, let's move on, let's move on. He's not going to answer.
Oh, my God.
Let's move on. They were saying, let's move on, he's not going to.
Well, no, if we're talking about Reddick, then no, I wasn't meaning that he knew. I was talking about somebody else.
Okay, now that you're saying that, listen to this. Now, you know, half the time, Roosevelt didn't know what he was doing, and he voted with them every time. He never missed a time when he voted with them. So he didn't know half the stuff that they were talking about. That's why he wound up giving away the chunk of his district to District 4, because he didn't know what he was doing.
He had no idea what
he was doing.
He didn't know what the answer was. And that reminds me. So Kathy, I'm gonna be over in your building, because now that we got the budget behind me, I have to get back to the redistricting. I'm gonna have to meet with Matt John to go over my version of the district.
Okay.
So if you see me walking around there, you'll know why.
Yeah.
in at $2.7 million. All they contribute every year is $375,000. It's going to take us 40 years.
You're supposed to laugh at that. I say you gonna be there with your thing filling in the ditches.
Oh, I thought you said so. We're not gonna fill in the ditches.
No,
that's what I thought you said. Well, look, you know, I'm getting old. My hearing is getting bad.
Add that to you cutting the grass and picking up the garbage. Add that to you filling in the ditches.
That's right. That's right. So look, just this is what I wanted to show y'all. So here's the deal. Let me go back up to this real quickly. All right. So you demolish the structure on the property that's been adjudicated. Now, when property is adjudicated, that means folks didn't pay their property tax for 3 years. Okay. So so we take it over.
Mm-hmm.
Now once we do that, once we take it over, this is what happens. We got to go in and start maintaining.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to demolish the structure that's on there, and then we got to cut the grass. So when you finally get around to it, after you do all of that, we're taking a loss on there of about $12.5 million in a $12,500 each property. Okay? So, this is what I wanted to do. All right, so you got the liens on the property, so that means the city has already invested $15,000. The property is only worth $5,000 at the most, the vacant lot, okay? So nobody's going to come buy a $5,000 piece of property for $15,000. It has to be a very special circumstance. Like maybe that was my grandmother's property, and that's where I grew up and I got a lot of it. Okay, if you got that sentimental value, you might kick out $10,000 over the market price. Or you may be a person that have so much money that $15,000 to you is like $5,000 to somebody else. And so it's no big deal. You'll never miss that $15,000. All right, so let's say we put that in there, $15,000 for the lot, and that modular construction is $150,000. And then now you're getting property taxes. So the total for the city is $170,000, okay, to put that house up, right? Now, this would be a monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
Is $950 a month. Now, that's what Jim Ballard objected to. He said they wouldn't be able to pay. But look, most of these people are already paying $870 a month.
That's right.
Right.
And it keeps going up on them every year that they sign a new lease. So with this, that $950 would be the same amount for 15 years. Now, as you're paying it, if you miss 2-3 months and you cannot catch up, then what happens is, we have to evict you, right? And then we start over. We start all over again with a new group, all right? But if you stay in there, now if we vet the people carefully and you stay in there, then there won't be an issue. 15 years later, that is your home. And imagine if you just start down and you got young kids, you know, 15 years later, when they're ready to go to college, you don't have a house payment anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
You could actually give them a little money can do something. But that was the issue. And that's the economics behind it. Let me see. see if I could get to okay, so this is what we were talking about. So we demolish these blighted residences,
mm-hmm.
we rehabilitate the dilapidated structures, and we do a really good job screening these folks,
mm-hmm.
because as I mentioned, not everybody
is going to be able to.
Homeowner.
That's yeah. right. That's
they,
right.
They'll get in there and they will tear that place up.
Yeah.
Won't pay their rent,
mm-hmm.
and, I mean, their monthly note,
yep.
and we'll have to kick them out and find somebody else.
That's right.
And if we could take all of our adjudicated properties and make what we call a land bank,
mm-hmm.
then every time this rolls over, we'll be able to put another new home on those lots,
yep.
On those vacant lots, you know. But anyway, that's what it is. It is, and it takes, they build these in a factory, put them on these flatbed trucks in sections, and bring it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they assemble it on site.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, once all of that, as these different trucks are coming, it takes anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks for them to assembled.
That's crazy.
4 to 6 weeks. And everything is quality controlled because it's built in their factory in sections. And
that's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. With that river stone in there and stuff, all of that, it really is nice.
Yeah.
But that's, so you was asking what happened at the that's what happened. The classified people got a 10% raise. The unclassified got an 8% raise. The Johnny Brown got to keep their money and make and build a VIP lounge for the coaches. we got the short end of the stick.
As usual.
Closing dishes with Cole Pepper and Morris. And we got shafted on a portable home thing here.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. Or is it mixed up?
Huh?
Priorities are mixed up.
That's right, Sudie. Yep, that's right. Priorities mixed up. We're not a priority. The main population of your city is not a priority because it's poor black folks, okay? We whine and cry about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing gets done, and we sit back and we've literally given them the city. You don't need a key to the city. You can walk in and do what the hell you want to because we got all these people sitting here agreeing with you just taking over. You know, ain't no fight. Everybody ain't nobody on the battlefield no more. They don't care. But they want you to fight whenever something happens to them. Last night I had an opportunity to go to the Woodside neighborhood group meeting. I was invited, and it was very nice. But what the first thing I noticed was not one young mother, anybody young walked in that door, should have been sitting in that meeting. As a matter of fact, Councilman Perry showed up to the meeting. And I was just so shocked that it should have been packed after what happened Sunday night. It should have been packed in there trying to figure out the solutions to this situation. I'm going to stick to what I said from the get-go. I said there need to be surveillance cameras in the high crime areas. There needs to be conflict resolution classes being taught, mediation classes being taught. Playing basketball and football and baseball is not the answer. I'm telling you this now. That's not all you're doing is exercising those kids, okay? That's what you're doing. You're exercising them. And you don't even have to play those type of games to exercise, okay?
They're exercising their body and not their mind.
That's right. They're not getting anything done. You need somebody who, and we were in a church, and I said it, in a church. I believe that the churches are not doing enough. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry if anybody's offended by that. Because if your members and your parishioners are spending, they're there, they come to church, they're faithful, they'll fight anybody tooth and nail about you. You should be at least giving back in the sense that you're setting up classes and getting these kids to help. Because they even need a counselor. We can get preachers to come in and talk, but they need counselors on a mental level. It's not always spiritual, it's mental.
Right.
You need somebody in there that can talk to them. You need parenting classes, teaching young parents how to be parents, even some of the old parents. We got to stop trying to be friends and buddies and hanging out with our children. We got to stop buying our children weapons, okay? Ain't nobody living in my house. I'm going to say this is me, okay? Ain't nobody living in my house, and I don't know they got a gun or a knife in that sucker. I promise you that.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
It won't be in my house unless it belongs to me.
As long as you're in my house, that's open door for me to go in your room and look for
That's right. You don't own nothing. You ain't got no rights when you up under my roof and ain't paying no bills. You ain't got no rights. Them rights go out the door. Now, when you get in your stuff and I come over there and do the same thing to you, that's wrong, okay?
That's it.
But
Did anybody see the video that was on Facebook Live about the shooting? You know, the shooting that happened Sunday night, that mother just lost a child about a month ago here in Houston.
Yeah.
But there is so many people out there. I don't know how.
I couldn't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
That they would even allow that.
And
did you occur? Yes, I saw the video. Remember?
Yeah. And they got him away from Kroger. They got him away from Kroger. Then they went down to the other end of Jackson. Up in Ash area in that Burger King before that Super One grocery store was built.
Mm-hmm.
They started hanging over there. But they still remained on Jackson Street.
Mm-hmm.
But they cleaned up out that city park.
Mm-hmm.
So why they can't clean that? First of all, how do you have that much traffic on one of the major streets coming in and out of Alexandria from Marksville?
Yes.
That I can't understand.
Yeah.
And
when I saw that, I was like, are y'all serious?
Mm-hmm.
I had a she couldn't get to her house in the village. She had to go all the way back.
Way around, back Hudson mm-hmm. Road
yeah.
to get to her house.
And it's sad. And in the ideal that now, when she talked to him, I said he might be afraid. And then again, we got to understand this, and I say this all the time. They're not concerned about us. All he was thinking about is profit. He made some damn good profit. He made some damn good profit
and
that night.
About how much money he made that night.
That's what
he
I just said. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything on his shelf and his freezer.
Yeah.
Profit all up. Yeah. It was a opportunity for him.
Now,
money
then. Mr. Porter, I got a question for you, okay? Is that considered an unlawful gathering?
Well, it was because of the way they were parked.
Okay.
And the areas that they were blocking.
Okay.
It was.
Okay.
And they were on both sides of street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where was the ATV then? Because they monitored
over there off of Jackson Street. They was off of Jackson Street over there in Good Earth and the first guy and
it was actually one out there because he the one who heard the gunshot. There was one out there. It was only one. He wasn't going to do anything. He called for backup.
He was no backup. He was out there having a funky good time just like they were.
Right. There were so many guns going Mm-hmm. And that door.
Yep, that's right.
That's the same term. So you don't know who shot who. No.
That's sad.
Who shot what. But first of all, that many people should not have been allowed.
That's what
right,
I said, unlawful gathering.
In that area like that.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
No. Well, they came out the park.
Nobody can have a good time. Just nobody can hang out and just enjoy themselves because some fools
acting crazy. So, and another thing I said too, I said that now it's time for Chief Howard, whoever's ever in charge, and the mayor to get together, and it's time for a mandatory curfew. It's time. That should have been enough.
That's the mayor's job.
I know.
He should have been on TV.
Yes, I said the same thing.
Addressing that issue.
I said that.
We had that shootout at the gallery here Sunday. They out there in the middle with what they call it, the cinders on the guns. Man, I turned to tell him we ain't having it. Monday morning he was on the news.
See?
Mm-hmm. At all.
Wait a minute, Mr. Porter.
You remember when the power team
powerlifting? Have parishioners and you have members. that are the numbers that are in these communities. They meet, these people live in those communities. So they know what needs, what they need to do. They've got to come together. They've got to utilize all the materials or resources to get these kids off the streets, to sit them down, talk to them. They can go to Sunday school all day long, but they can still come out being the devils. Because some kids are just naturally bad. They come from a bad seed. They come from a line of bad kids. I mean, a bad lineage. Okay? We got to understand that.
Children are not coming to Sunday school anymore.
I heard that's what they said last night.
They're not coming to church at all. Parents are not bringing starts from babies on because we have a few children. And from my understanding, the day when I was in a meeting, that the churches are not even seeing the children anymore.
Yeah.
Not many of them.
Yeah.
Right?
See, and that's what was said.
Nationwide. Yeah. United States wide.
Yeah. So.
That millennium generation, they don't have that discernment about religion.
But, and it shouldn't be about religion. It shouldn't be about religion. It should be about spirituality and being, they don't have that.
They're not going to change or wake up until something tragic happens to them.
But how many times,
I talked to a few, you know, younger, and people fail to understand, like I tell them, ministers, whether it's a male, female, whoever, they are imperfect also. But these young people tell me, I'm not going in there because all they looking for is a wash tub full of money. That's what their sermon is about. That's what they, you know, then they go out there and they caught with their pants down or she caught with her dress up, you know, doing whatever. Just like that situation here with Joel Osteen, that money came up missing in 2016. The plumber going to church, what was it, the first of this year, found all the money over that stuff by the toilet.
Somebody forgot
to go back and collect it.
Mm-hmm.
And young people talk about these things and they say, I don't have time for that because this generation here tell you they don't have no reservation as to how they're gonna express themselves. They just gonna tell you what it is, how to call it, don't care if you like it or not, and politically correct is not in their vocabulary, and they just gonna tell you. I'm not fooling with that because they're a bunch of hypocrites.
But that's understandable. They have a right to feel like that. But this is not about church. What this is about is finding a solution to why these kids are so angry. They need to have a mental health counselor talking to the parents and talking to the kids. You need to have something set up where it shows them how to handle their anger. If I'm mad at you and I've been bullying you,
I should... Mental health is one of the areas everything mental health... That's the first budget they flash. Look at Central.
I know. But you have to understand, they train people for conflict resolution. You can actually get certified to be a conflict resolution person, a mediator, and you use those people. If you have those type of people in your church, use those people. Get them to sit down with those kids and find out why they're mad. Because a lot of that is just they're mad because somebody said something about a shirt they wore, okay? And they do it they stood on social media. And get them to understand. The reason why I can say this because I work with children. I work with children at churches. I work with the CASA program. I work with the Youth Challenge. Do you know the type of angry kids I dealt with every day for 12 hours a day? So I'm telling you, these kids are angry. They got a lot of stuff going on at home. Their environment at home is unhealthy. So they have no other way of expressing themselves. If they watching their mom getting beat up by dad every night, or they watching mom and dad doing drugs together, or mom and dad cheating on each other, and they see this stuff, and they see all this evil stuff that goes on in the household, they don't have anywhere to release all the anger because they don't want to live like that. This is not something those kids really want to live like, but they can't choose their parents, okay? So you got to figure out a way to be able to talk to them and get them to understand. And then you got to talk to the parents. I mean, I'm not saying that everything is going to be perfect. The kids didn't come with no instruction book. But as you see things are happening, you know they're wrong. You can correct it. And you have to get in the habit and be consistent with trying to correct those problems, because if you don't, guess what? You're going to get what we get, the shooting. Yeah, we get the shooting.
So when I was 11 years old, my mom was getting beat by her boyfriend. He grabbed her neck in front of me, and I had never seen anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's a form of PTSD.
Yeah, I picked up a hammer.
And you hit her with it?
Mama said, let her go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when
they
let her go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Miss Bella, you make no Roy, Roy Lee Moore.
Yeah, I know him.
He was the one.
So that's what I'm saying, you guys. There's ways, I'm telling you, a lot of these kids just need attention. And y'all might think I'm lying, I might make this up, but a lot of those kids just need somebody to pay attention and listen to why they're angry. The first thing you need to ask them, why are you so angry?
Yeah.
Now, you tell me why you're so angry, and let's go from there. Let's start from there. You tell me why you feel the way you feel. Why don't you like this person? Tell me why you don't like them. Is it something they did to you? They say something about you? You start asking those questions. Get them to talk to you. Once you get them to talk to you, I guarantee you their whole attitude will change. They're not getting the proper attention at home. And that's not all of them, because a lot of them do get their attention. They're too spoiled. They get what they want. And then, like I said again, we have to keep in mind. Yeah, I'm looking up because I'm looking at my panel up here. The reason why we have to get to the point where we got to stop allowing them to tell us what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, okay? And we got to stop cussing our kids out. When I'm saying when they get of age 18, 19, 20 years old and they acting a fool, if you got to do that, you do that. But when they're young, us cussing, I hear people call their little kids bastards and beans and ends and just saying all. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, are you saying that to a child? No. And they grow up and they think that's how you're supposed to address them. You guys, we got a problem. And I'm not just saying in the African-American race, because I've seen some stuff, the other one. It's all over. But I'm not concerned about them. I'm talking about our kids. They deserve to be loved. They deserve to be cherished. They deserve to have a good, healthy, clean environment to grow up in, a clean, healthy home to grow up in, because they did not ask to come here. You made that choice when you laid down with whoever you laid down with, and you brought this kid into this mess that you're in, because you're living in a mess. Not everybody, but a lot of them are living in mess, and that's what they're doing. It's just a revolving door, and you keep bringing these babies into this. And then you crying when one of them get killed. You crying when you can't keep them in school. You crying because you guys, it's the adults is the real problem. The adults need to stop. And then you have younger kids, younger women and men having babies. Don't know crap about having no baby. But that's all he saw, or that's all she saw, was these babies being born into all of this. The kids don't ask to be here. So we have to make sure we make them feel like they should, because at the end of the day, we say it, spiritually, they belong to God. And we're supposed to be giving them back to God whole, not messed up like we're doing, because that's what we're doing. At the end of the day, if we don't correct what we're doing, we're giving those kids back to God all messed up. And it's not fair. It's not fair.
I tell people today, I say, if you look at adults, dysfunctional adults, who are all over the place with whatever, you know, if it's drugs, anger, whatever it is. You talk to that adult, and if you ever get them to open up, 99.9% of their issues go back to their childhood.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's where a lot of that.
99.9% of their issues go
That's
back
right.
to their childhood.
That's right.
They got molested.
Huh?
They got molested by family members?
Mm-hmm.
Or they were beaten? Or, you know, mm-hmm. the lack of attention, you know, and some people don't even realize emotional abuse carries further sometimes.
Then that's right, than the physical abuse. That's right. You're
because
so 100%.
That you said that mm-hmm. you can never be erased from your memory.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And parents, you know, some of them didn't understand you know, you, as I tell people, children is like a pimple.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hold it too tight and you can't hold it too loose.
That's right.
If you hold it too tight, it's not going anywhere. It's just going to be there. You're going to be just silly. If you hold it too loose, it's going to drop and flop everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's how children are. You have to know how to communicate. And a lot of things, especially when we were growing up, our parents believe you do as I say, not as I do.
That's right. Right. That's right.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm listening to this, you're doing this, but you want me to follow another path. How can I follow another path when this is your example?
Mm-hmm. Well,
example.
That's true, too. But you got to understand, too, with us, my mom might have said that to me. She might have knocked me upside the head. I was afraid of my mom, so I wasn't going to do too much stuff that's going to be out of the rim.
Right.
I was just too scared of it. Just naturally too scared of it. I wasn't going to do it.
Crazy. How you gonna tell somebody do as I say, not as I do?
Mm-hmm.
When we follow by eyesight,
yeah,
by behavior,
yeah.
Because that's what they were told.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as I always say, black people, colored folks, African Americans, Negroes, darkies, whatever we want to classify ourselves as.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stop this BS about do not go to counseling.
Yep.
We got to stop it.
Mm.
Sometimes that's what people need.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want, you know, we want to brush everything under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And that molehill eventually becomes a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know how to deal, as Talita said earlier, with all those different emotions that we are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So we lash out. We are angry. We are mean. We are vindictive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to go out there and, you know, shoot up the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, I used to always tell my sons, for every action, there's a consequence.
That's right.
Whether it's good or bad, now you better make the right choice.
That's right.
Because if you go down to that big house and it's not about self-defense, you better make sure you use your damn one good call on a damn good call, because I'm just going to flip over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we, our culture, I can only speak for our culture, because I've been around other people, I don't too much hang around other people like that. But our culture has a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do, and it goes all the way back to slavery.
Yeah.
It goes all the way back to slavery.
That's right.
You know, I tell them, we have to take the bull by the horns ourselves. We can't expect someone else to do
it. We can't expect, that's right, they're not going
to
do it. Well, you just saw the proof. When he just said they voted against a good environment, a good community be created for people. You know what I'm saying? So that tells you right there they don't care. They don't care.
But you know what it is? A lot of it is lack of education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lack of knowledge. And what the Bible tells us, our people were perishing due to the lack of knowledge.
Yep, that's
what are we doing? We are perishing.
That's right.
That's right. You won't listen. Some of us won't listen. All we have to do is have Don sitting over here. Oh, that ain't going to work. You know, Mr. Mm-hmm. Downer, Debbie Downer, going to sit over there and tell you all the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
But don't know twice four is eight. But mm-hmm. you won't listen to him because he has the loudest mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or her, because they have the loudest voice.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to just sit back sometime and say, you know what, you don't have to let everyone know that, I'm just going to say Mr. Porter, he has the blueprint and all that. After the situation or the meeting is over, you just sometimes linger back. Just
mm-hmm. yep.
Okay, Mr. Porter, can you tell me more about this here?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And see what you mean. How is this going to work for my community?
That's right.
You know, and quit. You know, don't always, sometimes you got to step up and be a leader and not a follower.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody leads, like I tell them, most just win on the few were called.
Yep, that's true. You're right.
And we have to, as I said, stop listening to the daughters. They not going anywhere, have been nowhere, and don't want nothing.
Exactly. Hey there. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hello, how are you? I'm sorry, you guys.
Upset.
You what? I can't hear
Hello?
You. Yeah, you gotta
I'm
talk
upset.
Louder. You're upset about what?
Oh, yes, ma'am. About what's going on. Can y'all hear me good?
Nope. Can y'all hear him?
Can I?
Barely.
Yeah.
He said they barely can hear you.
Okay, hold on. Let me work this real good.
He Gary working real good.
Can y'all hear me
upset.
Now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Can y'all hear me?
Okay.
Hold up. Say it again, Matt.
Can y'all hear me? Yeah, can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, now, I'm here now. Here's what I'm upset with. Can you miss a call?
Yes.
Okay. They have a unity walk coming on April the 24th.
We got a unity walk, April
24th.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. And you're going to have the councilman from District 3 to walk and pray. Huh? Understand what I'm saying? Walk and pray. So you mean to
walk
tell
and
me?
Pray.
Yes, ma'am. They're gonna walk. They're gonna do the unity walk. I guess they go walk, go pray to people and stuff like that. I don't know. But what I want to say is, my neighborhood is just District 3, 1, 2, and 3. So the only thing y'all gonna do is pray, and not get no resources.
Yeah. Exactly.
So she and if I could make it home, I would tell her on the 24th that you are a part of the problem because you don't want to help get no resources to this district to help nobody. You see,
exactly.
And if they're gonna be about the Bible, but if they're gonna be about the Bible, they need to be all the way about the Bible. Because
Okay, he said that they're planning on the 20th. Right, you said the 24th, right? The 24th,
yes, ma'am.
They're having a unity walk, pray and unity walk. So they're going to pray and walk, okay?
But
praying and walking since the 1950s. So when is it going to start? We've been praying and walking since the
1950s.
Thank you. I'm just being real about it. Where is this walk going to take place? I know you said District 3, but where in District 3?
Yeah, where in District 3?
I don't know. I know I posted it because I was real mad. Because
on Facebook.
Yeah, okay. I'm real mad about it because you mean to tell me all they get is prayer, and they don't get a piece of that $6.5 million. And the only man that voted against the $6.5 million, the black people got a problem with it. Something wrong with us.
That's right. It's something wrong
with us.
Something
really wrong with us.
When I'm hands and elbows, hollering, we should overcome. That's the song. Mark my words. And I'll walk out.
Yeah. And then when it comes down to money.
Let me say real quick.
Ma'am?
You didn't hear earlier, Matt. Did you hear what Mr. Porter said that he brought in front of them again for the fourth time about building the communities with the adjudicated property?
They don't want to hear that.
No, listen. Reddix voted against it. Reddix, Millard, and Rubin all voted against it. Perry, him, and Fowler. Perry, him, and Davidson voted for it. So it went to 4. So there's no houses going to be built.
They messed up when they took all the other people out the city council. When they had the majority.
They had the majority vote, but they did what they were supposed to do. Now look what you got.
Yeah, but
so Reddick's going to stop them from making houses because Reddick's own houses.
That's right.
You got Joe, Jules, and Malcolm.
Yeah. Sure did.
It was an anti-black movement
that
was carried out, executed by black people.
That's right.
Yes.
Sure did.
And look, I wasn't up for election. That's why I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
But because I wasn't up for election, they mounted a recall again.
Yep, sure did.
And look at the people who lined up behind them
on
their recall. Jim Ballard gave them a check.
Yep.
Lee Rubin gave them a check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of them,
Jeff Hall was encouraging. Jeff Hall told Clarence Reed, if you get him out there, I'm going to appoint you to replace him. You know? So,
wow.
I mean, first of all, they don't want somebody like Malcolm Long.
You know,
an educated man with a professional business. They don't want somebody like Joe Fuller. Joe Fuller has too much
experience
and too knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want somebody like Jules Green.
Yep.
Jules Green come from an environment where he knows the rules and everything, and he's not afraid to speak up. They didn't want Jules Green in there. And then me, I got education. I'm not originally from here. They definitely don't want me in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's look at the reason they cited they needed to have a recall.
Mm-hmm.
I was too old. Okay, I'm 67 right now, and back then
you said that old man Silver on there, that was 99.
Chuck Fowler's in his 80s. Lee Rubin's in his 70s. God darn, I was the second to youngest person in. The only one younger than me was Mel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
Mr. Silver still in?
No, he died.
He died
a couple of
weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Wait. Mr. Porter said a couple of weeks ago. Mr. Porter.
What?
Mr. Porter.
What?
A couple of weeks,
about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I thought it was last
week. Ago, but he got out of office 4 weeks ago.
Wow.
But look.
Oh, my God.
People, right? And the people that was really working the recall against me, they didn't live in District 2. They found two people in District 2 because you got to be in the district to be the chairman and vice chairman of the recall. So they got Clarence Reed and they got
Floyd Kurtz. Yep.
Okay, to be the chairman and vice.
Yep.
Yeah. The chairman and the vice chairman of the recall.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your mouth, Kathy? They had two crooks.
Okay.
Who turned to religion, to the self-proclaimed reverence, to lead this.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is not, full disclosure, so I'm on my third one because this was...
One of them things? What's in there? Wait a minute, what's in there?
Drink too much.
Got a brain freeze.
Okay, let me see if I can get it up. How much time we got?
Let me see what time it is. You got ten more minutes. I'll give you 10 more minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. Look, it's a darn shame that these black folks in Alexandria are so foolish and so easily misled down the wrong road that you flash a little money in front of them. And you got them. You got them for life.
Yep.
You give them money a couple of times, and it's just like Pavlov's dog. You ring that bell, and they start salivating, thinking that some more is coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they done paid them off a couple of times.
Yep.
And now every time they see them, they see these white conservative Republicans, they think, man, we're going to get some more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all that Republican got to tell him, look, you see that Negro girl before over there? I need you to get him out of there. I need you to do something to him. And they run off and do it because they figure, like a good dog, they come back, wag their tail, sit down, and then they're going to get a bone or something.
Yep.
You know? And that's what's happening. That's what Reddish Washington did. That's what Clarence Reed is doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the whole group of them
have been doing for a while.
They did that to Joe Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
They did that to Jules Green. They did that to Malcolm Lowe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now they're doing it to me. And I understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
They anti-intellectual. They anti-anybody who's decent. If you hadn't gone to jail, you didn't sell drugs, and you're not in the club making it rain, then, you know, you're not
their
candidate.
I'm
not their candidate.
Yeah.
But is it Reed? Cleveland Reed? What's his name?
Clarence Reed.
I saw his Facebook page. The people
trying to run for Congress?
Is
he the councilman?
He's a reverend. He's not a pastor of anybody's church.
Mm-hmm.
I know him personally, and it is not good.
Yeah.
And he's throwing all these wild parties, these, you know, popular models of wet t-shirt contests with the booty shirt. I said, oh, but you the rapper.
The rock parties. Rock parties and all that.
The mud bashes and mud bugs. And that didn't do nothing. That hadn't done nothing for the community.
You said it right, Kathy. They got a bus tail wide open. You said it right, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
That's a shame because you don't play with God like that. I mean, it's worse than hell that's playing with God.
Was it Turner over there? Was it Turner?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Larry Turner.
Yeah.
Look, Larry Turner is part of that group. He was part of the recall again.
Yep.
Yeah, he's part of that group.
Yep.
And Larry Turner had his song from heaven to hell.
Larry Turner told him, I want to be the first person to sign the thing. Bring it over to my house. Let me sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Larry Turner.
Yep.
And that's a big
next.
Oh, yeah. Dope bad.
Yes, ma'am.
Felon, federal prison time.
It's on Acadian Village and 3rd Street.
Hamstone?
Say that again?
Yeah, now we're talking about the straight crackhead.
They just
went to jail for that.
You didn't know that?
Federal prison. And he's a pedophile.
Lord, that's cool, sure.
All right.
Yeah, no, you're right. I remember that.
People.
And they told me he had the Christian Lord Church. I said, y'all just want to make sure y'all get somewhere just because I say Larry Turner couldn't tell me it was raining outside unless I go to the window up front door and look for myself.
Sure.
I'm so dead.
Y'all.
Kathy, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
No.
I can't get them to be quiet to save my neck.
And before I even met the man, I knew all about him. I knew all his reputation preceded.
He's himself,
Before I met him, I knew all about him.
Wow. And when they told me he had Christian love, and if you ever notice the funerals that he conducts at his church, bro, it's gonna be drug dealers.
Yeah,
it's gonna be criminals.
That's That's true. That's true.
And if somebody that I'd be like, oh, they're going over that Christian love, he'll bury them, you know, like other pastors and stuff, they can say, nah, I ain't touching that.
And the way that they have the way that they have the hold they have on that city council is so crazy. And what we realize, you know, we always say, well, it's power in numbers. No, because you guys own the city and you're not even taking advantage that you own the city. You guys are the majority. You're not even acting like you're the majority. If you any other place, they do, and they're the minority, and they got more power than you do. Any place that you go and you got a majority of black folks that's intelligent and smart, you can guarantee good stuff is happening in that area. Because a lot of the people are not going to fight against something they don't understand. They're just not going to do it. But you got what y'all got is total opposite. They don't understand. They ain't trying to understand, and they're going to continue doing what they're doing. And they don't understand on the whole level how it's impacting the rest of the black folks. That little group you talked about, those band of thieves and bullies and criminals that you talked about, they do not, they literally been running this city with their little other cohorts, you know what I'm talking about, for so long, they really think that it's all right. And the people who follow them, it's just amazing. It is mind-boggling, the people who follow them. And those are the ones we're talking about that cuss their kids out in front of them, who fight other women in front of them, tearing their clothes off and stabbing them and acting a fool over these knucklehead recycled men. Recycled, I'm going to call them what they are, recycled men. They got a baby for everybody, got a baby for the sister, brother, uncle, everything. Okay? Yes. You got those. That's who they fighting over. You say, oh, you got a purple dress on. It's the same color as my dress. I'm ready to fight you. All this old crazy image that we're doing on a daily basis don't make no sense. Grown women and men fighting over what? Over something they saw on social media. Y'all, this is it. If y'all don't make some decisions to fix the problems that y'all have within your home and then within your community, y'all, there ain't no, I'm telling you, I'm not saying this to sound negative or gloom and doom. There is no other answer. You got to fix the problem. And if you got the solutions and you refuse to use the solutions, then it's on you. You can't have people fighting for you when you ain't fighting for yourself. It don't make no sense. And don't get mad at me and try to check off my list what I'm doing for the community. I don't have to do anything for anybody's community. If I do something, it's out of kindness of my heart. It has nothing to do with me doing it for show and videos and all that. I don't have to do it for that. I don't even have to do it, period. Nobody. Only thing I need to do is live and die. Them the only two things I got to do. I don't have to do anything for nobody. So I tell people,
stay black and die.
Stay black and die. Yeah.
But I'm just saying in general, pay taxes. All I'm saying in general is we've got to understand there are people out there with solutions. You got people like Mr. Porter who has a solution to our living arrangement that can help with that. And it can be expanded once we get it in place. So you got something for the home. The home is the foundation. So you have families in these homes that living in clean, productive lives and doing stuff that they need to do and making sure their children are being taken care of. That's all you need. I promise you, you're going to get positive results out of that. You're going to get that. But if you don't want it and you're not trying to fight for it, don't expect for everybody to fight for you. And don't get mad at them because they don't. And quit having your hands out. You always have your hands out. Stop having your hands out, okay? Everybody did not grow up the same way. I do understand that 100%. But it's a mindset that you grow up on. Not only do you grow up on it on the physical, it's a mindset. You have a lot of people who grew up in poor neighborhoods, and they're famous now because they changed their mindset. They said, I don't want to live like this for the rest of my life. I want to change. I want to get out this environment. But we have to get our kids to that point where they're thinking like that. that they want to get out their environment. And they know they can. But you got to be the encourager. As the parent, you know that right now, okay, baby, I can't do what I want to do for you, but please give me a chance. Let me get my stuff together, and then I'll come and I'll take care of whatever I need to take care of to make sure. We don't even think of our children in that way. We think of our children. We drink.
When they used to tell us to read a book.
Yeah.
And we can travel the world.
Travel the world in a book. Yeah. You think about the food stamps and the welfare and the child support. That's what we teach our children. We don't teach them that you don't have to be in these relationships with these crazy people, and you don't have to depend on the child support to maintain. There's other things. You have generational people on welfare. You got generational people on food stamps. You got generational people doing child support. Do you know how much it costs to raise a child from baby to college? $1
million.
$1
million. But I know what? I'm so embarrassed with that situation Sunday night, and I don't even live there.
I know. It's a total on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, instead of us being at home laughing and joking and having good times with our families and friends, we out shooting up the neighborhood and scaring everybody. It's sad.
All over the country, because the people said, "Where is this?
Mm-hmm.
Where is this?"
Yep.
Yeah. I'm so embarrassed. I'm appalled. I'm like, in an area I grew up in, I never would have dreamed it'd be. And you got people. When I saw the cars,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, how? Yeah. Damn hell, you got that many cars on Lower Third, mm-hmm. and
that's right.
Yeah.
But then how do you know to go there? Like, you know,
they all, the cell phone, one call the next, it's like it's an unwritten rule in the sky. But I still do not understand how APD did not clear that out before it got to that point.
Yeah.
Well, because they only had, a total of 14 people on that ship.
But wait a minute, don't the state troopers have access to patrol?
That's what I thought, too.
No.
Tell me, why didn't they ask for help from the sheriff's department? Why didn't they ask help from the sheriff's department?
Okay, so you have to have, first of all, the sheriff doesn't have jurisdiction
in the incorporated
areas of a city.
I understand.
They are for the parish. And then,
I have seen them drawing portions before out here in the fine waters.
Yes.
A trooper.
That's right.
RPSO and APD.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see the three-way troopers pull folks over right over there where the auction bond used to be at in Joe's Soap.
Right.
And
so,
RPSO.
Yeah, because there are state highways that run through the city.
Oh, what are they?
Now, the state highways, like, for instance, Lee Street is a state highway. Overton is a state highway.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So all the state highways, 3rd Street is Highway 1. So,
okay, but the state troopers could have banged in there to help clear that mess out, too. That's Highway 1. They could have.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to have an intergovernmental agreement.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, for a time, we had an intergovernmental agreement with the sheriff's department when Hilton was the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know that it was going to turn bad. Like, they want...
When you got more than 10 cars with that age bracket of people, you can expect trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can, but...
They don't usually, and they went there, and like they told us, when you go with a gun, when you start packing a gun, you're looking for trouble.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I am licensed to carry a gun, but I cannot carry it Monday through Friday when I'm going on federal property.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I can't even carry a knife, an ice pick.
Yep. You're right.
That is classified as a weapon. I would get federal time for that if they searched my truck and find it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I got bullets in my console right now. So if they ever stop me, I keep forgetting to take them out. But you're not going to find a gun. The bullet's okay. I don't have a gun. So I always said, anytime you pack a gun,
it's trouble.
You get the hot head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got them. You know, that's not why I have one. If I hit that highway, I'll put it in the truck just in case. You never know.
Yeah.
But I know how to maintain, because I think like this. I tell them, yeah, I ain't in the midst of my good government job with my good nursing license. I ain't losing that job.
Did she say her good government job?
My good government job. I tell them, I'm going to tell you like I used to tell my son. I said, boy, if them white folks call me on my good government job and I got to leave from that medical center and come all the way back here to West Houston, which is about 35 miles from where I'm working at, and that school called me, I said, you might as well to tell them, because our school systems have their own police department. I said, you might as well to tell them to have an A-Leaf ISD, Constable Precinct 5, because that's who protect our area. And you might as well tell them call HPD back up, because you know your mama coming up in there with two wheels, and I'm going to beat the hell out your ass, and then I'm getting up in my car, and I'm going back to my government job. You don't go to school to act a fool.
That's right. That's
so
right.
You might as well tell them, please have all the police here, because she's coming up in here. No, you teacher.
You want to get our police?
Yep, that's right.
No teacher should ever have to deal with a disruptive child.
That's right.
If they call me on my good government job in the medical center to come back here, and I got to go back to work, I'm going to be the hell out of there.
Yep. And that's another thing, too, when you're saying that. The reason why they have a teacher shortage, they don't want to go to school and get jumped on by the dog. Who would ever think to fight a teacher or the damn parents? Who would think to do that?
And I remember I went to the school one day to pick up my son, and the lady at the desk rolled her eyes like, oh, Lord, that parent right there. And they were like, I was like, okay, what's going on here? And she said, you came for Kendrick Jackson? I said, his name is really Kendrick, but if y'all think Kendrick, I'll go by that. So one of the other ladies, so when he walked up, she looked at him. She was like, well, who is this? I said, that's my son. She said, he don't go to school here. I said, yes, he do. He's a senior. He plays on the varsity basketball team. I said, I noticed your eyebrows. She said, baby, I had your son mixed up with a whole nother Jackson. He gives us holy hell. I said, if this would ever give you holy hell, just pick up the phone and call me. Call one of us. I said, you got a mom and dad phone number? Call one of us. I guarantee you, when you would, she said, ma'am, I am so sorry. I had him confused. She said, I said, he's been here all 4 years of his high school. She said, this is the first time I've seen that boy. I said, that boy is a senior, and he's on the varsity basketball team, and he's first string. She said, no,
when did he graduate?
In
2009. Oh, I'm still there.
At A-Leaf?
No, that was in, she's talking about in Texas. That's when she was in Texas.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Huh?
Does it sound like you sound like you did a good job?
I tried. Yes. I have two aunts that are school teachers, and I remember them talk about how they always had to disrupt this kid, and then the parent want to come up there and
want to jump on you for you saying something to the child.
You know where my room is. Tell her to come on down if the price is right.
That's good. You never had no problem with your children.
Yeah. And I kept him at private school up into high school, and I told him it was time to go to public school because I need you to see the real world. I need you to see really how true black folks act. And he was sheltered up into high school.
He got a rude awakening, didn't he?
Ooh, baby, the first week he came home, he said, mother. I say, what? He said, those children just say anything. They talk to the teachers, they cuss them out, they do whatever they... I said, you're not used to that, huh? He said, no. I said, you ready to go back to private school?
And see, and that shouldn't be. They shouldn't be able to cuss out a grown person. They shouldn't be able to say the things that they do. They shouldn't have their need to put their hands on teachers, because if they're doing it with the teachers, they're doing it at home, fighting their moms. That's crazy.
It was adjustment for him because he was not used to that. I said, you out there show the world now, huh? You get to see. I said, you're getting ready to go to college, so you need to see what the real world looks like. And now
you got some teachers that got some very bad attitudes and shouldn't be teachers. I think we talked about this one lady who came to school one day. The next day she quit. And they put it on, they did the news covered it. And she said, I wouldn't save these morons if I saw them in a lake drowning or something. She said that. She said, I'm not doing this. She said, oh, no, she quit. She completely quit. Now, let me ask y'all something about the brain principle. Do y'all know that situation? Phoenix Magnet. No. The one here, Phoenix Magnet.
The one here. Oh, what happened?
What happened with that situation? Why did he go to jail, and why did he get what was going on with that? He hit a child or something?
He ain't do nothing but whip him on the behind.
I used to catch him
before school even started.
Yeah.
Now, how old is he? That's too young.
Four years old?
That's what I was wondering.
Wait a minute.
Is it pre-K?
I don't know, because a four-year-old?
I don't know.
I thought
Phoenix
Magnet.
That's what
ALB said.
You go to pre-K at four.
They
did show some pictures of him when he had their face faded, but they looked like they were small kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's what they said. Cruelty to a four-year-old. But what was cruel?
Well,
that might have been analyzing him and
throwing
him and throwing him.
Theodore Fontaine would have went to jail many times, because I used to catch a whooping before school. He knew I was going
to
do something.
He said that Theodore Fontaine should have went to jail many times because he said he used to catch whoopings before school got in.
Before school.
Disrespectful to the black teacher all the way. And I was like, oh, my God.
Well, she hear it at home. She hear that at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she see it at home, too. She see it at home. His mom, the husband, the boyfriend, whatever, calling her out of her name, you know, calling mom a B and H or whatever you want to call it, all kinds of names. They listen to that. If you want to argue, take your tail outside and argue. Go outside in the backyard where the kids can't hear you. All that arguing and acting is fool.
Why you can't have a conversation? Why you can't?
Well, because things ain't going right. I'm not working. Things are not going right with me, so I got to come home and take it out on somebody. I got to take it out on somebody.
70, when the KKK blocked the bridge, that was the first year that black kids were going to be bused across.
That was Judge Lee and the Buckeye Three.
Yeah.
Because that's the first year that I was going to Carolina Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed out of school for 1 week because they blocked the bridge. And they were
but that was Alexandria School that was ran by white folks. They really had a hold on them.
Yeah.
But they've been having a hold on them. They still got a hold on them.
Baldwin, whatever his name was, the mayor over there at that time. And he done killed up folks, buried them up under that bridge, and they ain't do that bad. That man got away with a whole lot of stuff over there.
And then Judge Lee, you know, he killed himself. If you go into Pineville on Main Street, his car still sits there. Did you know that?
He was the one that represented those three girls, so they wouldn't have to come over the bridge to Jones Street.
Sure did.
And he actually signed over custody to him for those girls.
Yep.
And as I told you, one of those girls,
I don't know about that story.
Yes, it happened. Mm-hmm.
And one of those girls is actually a nurse, and she works at
Rapid.
I've done a research on those three here about last year, because I wanted to know one is in Arizona, one is down there in Covington area of Louisiana, and one is right there. She's the RAM at Rapid Jones. Black people the wrong medicine. Hello.
Mm.
And if I ever see her, I'm
going to
tell her,
I ain't seen
her
live here
because I'm going to let her know. I know who you are,
and
that's all I'm going to say.
That is sad.
But she might try to say that she wasn't like that. It was her parents. And I think one of the parents. And the parents of each one of them, I think the father died of one of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one divorced, and I think the one who's a registered nurse, her parents may still be together.
Hey, Matt.
They're still over there in area.
That's you told me earlier you were up.
Yeah.